Just like to say one more time, well, like to welcome all of you to worship, worshiping our Savior and Lord. If you love the Lord, would you say amen? You know what Christmas, the word Christmas means? A lot of people may or may not. You know, over 6 million people are traveling right now just to be wherever they need to be with their family, whatever. Over 6 million people in the United States right now. And I wonder, you know, after all these years, people losing, we don't even say Merry Christmas anymore. I heard this morning Mr. Trump making a Christmas speech, and for the first time in a while, Merry Christmas from the president of this country, and really blessing the Savior and Lord. Christmas, I just intentionally put it like this, Christ is in the center. In case you didn't know, Christmas is about Christ. In case you didn't know, right? And I'm not trying to be sarcastic here. I think people just completely lost their understanding of Christmas. And what does the word mean? Mas. Two possibilities. Masse means festival or feast. Or Roman Catholic used the word mass, worship services, like a communion service. And interesting thing is the word mass comes from word missa, okay, which is worship. And the Latin word is missio, meaning mission or sent. Christ was missioned. Christ was sent from God. That's what Christmas is. Christ was mission. Can I just tell you, God is on a mission right now. I don't know whether what your worldview is right now. God exists and God is on a mission. In other words, he's up to something and moving toward his purpose. That's why he sent his son. Okay? What's the purpose? The purpose is right here. His name is Emmanuel. Okay? Emmanuel means, El means God. Emmanuel means God with us. Which implies that there's a possibility that God without us. Okay? It's a possibility. In other words, unless God came to be with us, God is now with us. Okay? So in the Old Testament, people wanted to meet God, and what did they do? They went to the temple or tabernacle, right? That really represents the presence of God. And in a sense that this is a church tabernacle, but we're not talking about the building. In Christian, in New Testament understanding is you are the temple. Your life is the temple. Now that spins everything differently, doesn't it? In the temple, the God was present. And the word temple is shakan, okay? The word shekinah comes from it. And you know what? We know what that word means? Many of you know that word. Shekinah means glory of the presence of God. Shakan means he dwell among us. Isn't it interesting in John chapter 1, verse 14, the word became flesh and he tabernacled, shakan, and dwell among us. That's Christmas. Okay. Can I just ask you? I don't know, deep inside, you desire to have, you desire to be with God. God with us. Is that a good news or bad news? You could have a mixed feeling about that. At least at this moment. God with us. Would you be comfortable if God is to be with you? Okay. Maybe some of you may say, I'm not. No, I'm not. You know why Jesus came? To save us. Save us from what? Save us from, we'll read the text, from sin. Okay? Is sin that much of a threat? That's the question, isn't it? He actually had to come and to save us, to deliver us from sin. Is that much of a threat to you? Threat to us? I don't know whether you know. Okay, sin destroy everything in this world, and then it leads to destruction eternally. That's how much threat this is. At least he takes it seriously like that. I don't know whether you take it seriously or, you know, we take it seriously. But God takes sin so serious, and he knows the power of sin so much, he had to send his best, which is his son himself. That much of a threat. Okay, it destroys your life, and it'll take you to eternal destruction. Okay, so let me just hang on, just move on. Emmanuel, it's a Hebrew word. El means God. Emmanuel means God with us. And as I was preparing this message, I was thinking Romans chapter 8, if God is with us, who can be against us? Is that your confession? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's the gospel. Is that your confession? Or do you feel fearful? Okay. Do you feel insecure? What is true security? Do you feel secure or insecure? You get very upset, right? When someone threatens you. Emmanuel means God with us. Okay? Just want to introduce a line from this song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Okay? A very important theology is in this song. Okay? You must understand this to understand the gospel. Christ, the veil in flesh, fully human, right? Fully human of the Godhead, and see hail incarnate deity, fully God. Okay? That's Christian foundation of Christianity. Upon this entire Christianity stands. Virgin birth has to be done so that Christ is fully human and fully God. Why is that so important? Because two reasons, okay? If he's not God, he cannot be a substitute for you. It doesn't make sense, because that's his own sin. He needs to be punished. So he cannot be substitute for you. That's why he's fully God. He has to be fully God and fully human. Unless he's fully human, he cannot substitute you, because, you know, he's not a human being. Fully God and fully human, our Emmanuel. Okay, let me read today's text one more time before I move any further. Matthew chapter 1 is the first chapter, obviously, of the New Testament. After 400 plus years of silence, finally John the Baptist comes and the Messiah comes, okay? And Matthew chapter 1 begins with what? Genealogy. For those of you who know the Gospel of Matthew, it begins with, this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, starting with Abraham, 14 generation David, 14 generation captivity of Babylon, and then another 14 generation to Joseph. It's about genealogy of coming of Jesus Christ. Why is that significant? Because Abraham is from all the way from Genesis, all the way to Malachi. It's about Jesus. That's why it is significant. I hope you get this, right? First 17 verses of the first book of Matthew is about genealogy of Jesus Christ, how he came to be in the line of David. Entire Old Testament is pointing toward one person. Okay? And we pick it up from verse 18, okay? Right after that. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. I ask you to look at this. For those of you, look at Christianity as a myth. It's a historical document. There is more credibility and reliability to the scripture than most of ancient books. In fact, all of the ancient books. We went through that this year so many times. Historical document. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, engaged to Joseph, before they came together, in other words, they never had a sexual relationship. Okay? She was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Okay? First 17 verses speaks about human genealogy of Jesus Christ, from Abraham to David to Babylonian captivity to Joseph. One verse, verse 18, speaks about divine genealogy. How did he come to be? He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about this, okay? And her husband, Joseph, being a just, righteous man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. This is angel speaking to Joseph. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, from God. Okay? She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Let me read the last verse one more time. Why did he come? His name speaks it, Jesus, which means Jehovah saves, Yeshua. Okay? He came to save you from what? Sin. I don't know whether you know the magnitude and the severity of sin. Is that such a threat? Is it more threat than atomic bomb? Hydrogen bomb? Yes, it is. Because it deals with not only with this earthly life, but eternity. It destroys everything on this side of eternity, and then it'll take you to destruction. That's why Jesus came. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life, eternal life. Okay? Yeshua means salvation. Lord saves. Okay, that's why he came. Do you know him? I really want to ask you. I don't mean to insult you, but do you know him? Is God with you? Right? We celebrate Christmas, which is the greatest event. All the other religion, they strive to go to God, to be with God. We try. Right? That's why we have to do everything. But only Christianity, he came to us. Because there's no way that we could go to him. Okay? That's the difference. Yeshua, and his name is Jesus. Okay? George Whitefield says Jesus was God, man. Fully God, fully man. He had to be, I explained to you, in one person, so that God and man might become happy together, so that you will have peace. We're going to talk about it tomorrow morning. By the way, we have a Christmas service tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Okay? We will be talking about peace. Peace on earth. It does not end there. Peace on earth to those whom his favor rests. Do you have peace with God? I'm really asking you, do you have peace with God? If not, do you know what the condition of your relationship is with God? If not, peace is enmity. Bible says we are enemies of God. Right? Tomorrow we're going to talk about peace. So why is this message of virgin giving a birth so important? Before I explain how physiologically it happened, I don't think there's anybody who will be able to explain this physiologically, but why is this so important? Because the essence and the power of the gospel is that God became man, that by both holy God and holy man, he was able to reconcile God and men. He had to be. He's the only God-man, fully God, fully man, who could be a mediator. 1 Timothy. Okay? He's the only person who is worthy to be the person who could substitute for anyone else because he's sinless. Okay? In other words, the virgin birth and death, an atoning death of Jesus Christ, is directly related. Whatever follows afterward doesn't make sense unless he's a virgin birth person. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, the virgin birth, his substitutionary atoning death, and then resurrection, ascension, and return doesn't make any sense unless Jesus was born by virgin birth. I hope you understand this. This is the key and foundation of Christian faith. Christianity stands upon this truth. If you want to reject this, which is what the New Testament teaches, okay, not only death, resurrection, ascension, and return, but the virgin birth. So in other words, so he's a fully God and fully man. If this does not stand, nothing stands. Okay? So let me give you a story. Do you really believe that Jesus really born by a virgin? Okay? In first century, there is a church father named Ignatius. He's a bishop of Antioch. Antioch church we talked about during this entire year of 2017. One of the biggest city in the Roman Empire. He was the bishop. In other words, he was the pastor. And he was martyred around year 110. So right after the apostles died, probably contemporary with Apostle John, because he lived beyond 100. He was a contemporary with John, Gospel of John author. Okay, so he was the bishop of Antioch. And in his days, the heretics were saying something has to do with Jesus. You know what? Throughout history, Satan never stops. Satan's going to attack two things. He's not God or he's not man. It's always like that. Throughout history, if you study history of Christianity, Satan will use different people to attack two things. Jesus is not God, and Jesus is not man. And during this time, in the early second century, the heretics were saying, basically, Jesus had not really came in the flesh, and that he was not fully human, only he kind of looked like a human. Okay? That's the enemy. Enemy just keeps saying, Jesus is not fully human being. In other words, he cannot be the substitute for our atonement. He cannot die for us. Now, Christianity crumbles. This is a very important doctrine, right? If Jesus cannot die for you, you die eternally. We all destroy it eternally. Christianity shatters. So very, very important doctrine. So they deny the doctrine of incarnation. God became man, and he's fully God and fully man. So what did Ignatius and church fathers respond to this? Listen to this. This is what he wrote in a prison, waiting for a trial. Eventually, he's martyred, just like Paul. Okay, this is what he wrote. His famous line, stop your ears. His famous line, stop your ears, which means do not listen to those heretics. Stop your ears. Mary then did truly conceive the baby and had God inhabiting in. And God the Word was truly born of the virgin. He who forms all men in a womb was himself really in the womb. Do you picture that? He forms every human being on face of the earth in a womb. He's the creator. Now he's in a womb. Okay? And he made him form a baby of the seed of the virgin. Jesus was really, truly born and lived. And he was, I forgot to bring my glasses. He was condemned and he was crucified in reality. He really died and he was buried and he really was resurrected. Okay? And then he reasons this way. Basically in prison, waiting for his verdict, and he's going to eventually, you know, put to death. And if Christ only appeared to be human being, then what am I doing here? Why am I in bonds? And why have I surrendered myself to death and to fire and to the sword and to the wild beasts. It just does not make sense. Ignatius endured, obviously, to the end, and he was martyred. He was eaten by wild animals, lions, and he was burned, basically. And he proved, and he was able to endure all of that because Christ is not just seemed to be a human being, but Christ was truly human being, truly suffered, and truly conquered death and resurrected. Okay? Because he really became a human, the gospel stands. And because he lives, if you believe, you will live. Can I just tell you? Do you believe him? What's Christmas? Is God with you? In generic sense, yeah, God is with me. No, you know that's not what I'm talking about. You know that's not gonna cut it. Is God with you? He came because he loves you. You know, I was really thinking about Christmas. Why did Christmas happen? Why did Jesus come? Two things I was thinking about theologically. Number one, sheer mercy and grace. Before the foundation of the world, before we do anything good or bad, he decided to save us. Sheer mercy and grace, he planned. And he decided to mission Christmas because of his grace and mercy. Number one. Number two, you know why he came? His faithfulness. He keep his word. He kept his word 740 years ago, and he kept it. Just think about it. Number one, sheer grace and mercy. Without it, none of us would be sitting here. We talked about this in Romans chapter 9 a couple weeks ago. Before we do anything right or wrong. And someone argued this way, if you were to judge based on how you behave, do you think you'll be alive? And this person says, absolutely not. God is holy. If you are judged justly, none of us would be sitting here. We deserve to be just erased from the book of life. That's it. End of history. And he started all over. He's capable of doing that. But he doesn't do that. Why? Because he loves. Why does he love you? Beyond me. Why does he love me? Absolutely mystery. He loves me. Because he loves me. Okay? Let me just continue. You know, this theology came to my heart a couple years ago. I don't try to be, you know, promote myself with my thinking or anything. Everything begins with God in Christianity. Everything begins from God. Grace begins from God. Salvation begins with God. Our work and life begins with God. Everything begins with God. What is Christmas about? That's his heart. To your heart. That's what Christmas is about, isn't it? Christmas begins in the heart of God. Why did he come? Why did he mission? Why bother? Why don't let him just, you run your course and hand you over to yourself so that you will have your free will to destroy yourself? He can't because he loves you, right? That's his heart. And it is not complete until it reaches your heart. In other words, God loves you, but you need to turn and humble yourself. Right? Oh, what happened? Okay. So, verse 22, all this took place and fulfilled what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. In other words, the virgin was conceived and had a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel. This was prophesied by Isaiah, okay, 740 years ago. And I need to explain this. This is an exciting story, okay? And Here is the verse from Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. What is the context? What is the context of this story? So interesting if you study it. Isaiah chapter 7, right here, is the during the king, what's his name? Ahaz, okay? He's a wicked king. He's a bad king, okay? Worship idols. Country was full of idols. Although he was a son of Uzziah, great king, he was a bad king. Worship all kinds of idols. Reinstated the worship of Melchah and even burned his own son as a sacrifice. Bad king. And in Isaiah chapter 7, something threatening happens. Two neighboring countries, northern Israel and Aram, which is the country of Syria right now, Rezin and Pekah, two kings, they make an alliance, and they decided to remove Ahaz. So the country was in a threat. Very dangerous situation. And in the face of such a threat, what should you do? You should seek God, right? But he didn't. This is what he did, okay? See, in the face of such a threat to the people of Judah, Israelites, and the line of David, which is what the kings of Judah was, Ahaz, instead of turning to God for help, he sought God help from Assyria, a wicked country. Instead of trusting God, you trust another powerful nation. Right? So he took gold from temple, right? From temple where the presence of God was, and give to that king of Assyria as a plunder. He's a terrible king. Wicked king. What should God do to him? Destroy the nation. Destroy him, right? But instead of destroying him, Isaiah came and gave this prophecy. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, okay? And they shall call his name Emmanuel. God is with you. Now, can you think with me for a moment? Do you think this King Ahaz or the Israelite deserved to have God with him? Absolutely not. They worship idols, burn their own child, take gold out of temple and give as a plunder to another powerful nation. What should God do? Just eradicate this nation, right? But instead, through prophet Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive a child, and they shall call him Emmanuel. I don't understand God. I don't know about you, right? And how did this prediction of the virgin birth of Messiah fit that ancient scene? You know what Isaiah was basically telling the king? This is what he was saying. He was saying, no one would destroy the people of God. And no one will threaten the line of David. Not because you deserve it, because I promised it. No one will deserve the people of Israel. And no one will destroy the line of David. God would not allow Rezin and Pekah or anyone else in that matter to destroy the Israelites and the line of David. You know, threat to Christianity, Christian message never stops. Not just Ignatius, right? Jesus is not really God. Even right now, we hear this all the time, don't we? We give this pulpit to people who are outright living in sin. But you know what? The church will never fall because God promised, right? God promised the truth will stand till the end. Basically, he was saying to Ahaz and to to the Israelites. No one will destroy my people. No one will destroy the lineage of David. What did happen? After 740 years, by the way, right after, two kings were dead and all the threat dismissed, just as God prophesied. And 740 years later, Jesus, Son of God, was born. The Son of God was born. And basically, his name is Emmanuel. You know what he's saying? I ultimately will keep my promise and keep my people. Okay? Would you listen to me? Is your allegiance of your heart with some powerful nation, like Assyria, or is it with the Lord? I really want to ask you, is God, Jesus, your Emmanuel? I really need to ask you, otherwise you are in a ruin right now. You're not in good place right now. In fact, I want to be straight out. You're heading toward destruction, Bible says. You're standing condemned. Oh, Pastor, why are you saying this on Christmas Day? I say this precisely because this is Christmas. Without him, you have no chance. You won't be able to stand before the holiness of God. Look at me, please. You won't be able to stand before the holiness of God. The name of son born to a virgin, what's his name? Emmanuel, God with us. In his coming, in his incarnation, which is the most literal sense, God with us, two great wonders, okay, if you think about Christmas. Virgin, pregnant. Does that make sense? How could that happen? Pregnant virgin. That's like a square and circle. But to God, pregnant virgin. How did that happen? I don't know how I could explain it physiologically or logically, but just as God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, ex nihilo, can you explain that? He's the first cause. He's the creator. Just as Trinity, God in three persons, in one essence, one God, and they are in community and unity and love each other. Can you explain that? Just as God gives you a new nature, your dead heart, now you love him. How do you explain that? Can you explain that? No. No need to explain. God was conceived by the Holy Spirit through the line of David. Human genealogy and divine genealogy. Fully human, fully God. That's why he could be a substitute for your threat and for your sin. And he did. He did. Right? Just want to finish with one last thought, which is about temple. Okay? And I think it's kind of like a preview for tomorrow morning. In the Old Testament, God was very, very scary. You cannot fool around with God. Read the Bible. Very scary. Okay? God is love, but God is holy. So you don't fool around with him. Right? So people need to come to a temple or tabernacle during the desert time, basically, which is a symbol of presence of living God. God is present in this place, and you should revere him, by the way. You should. Okay? The term tabernacle is mishkan. I share that. Mishkan, which comes from the word shakan, which means dwell. God dwell in temple. But Jesus came to us to dwell among us. And the most, just going step even further, in 1 Corinthians, incredible New Testament theology is that your body is the temple, Shekhan of Holy Spirit. Your body is the Shekhan, dwelling place of Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the Shekinah. That's the gospel, people. That's the gospel. You feel like, oh, I'm not ready. Or I'm not worthy. And the answer is, you're not. I'm not. But he came to us because of his sheer great mercy and his faithfulness. Okay. You must turn from your sin and come to Christ. To whom? He's the one who forms every human being, every one of you, in the mother, your mother's womb. He's the one. Fearfully, wonderfully forms you. More fearfully. Yeah. And he himself placed him in a mother's womb. And he came to us. Can you imagine this wonder? So that he could be with you. God could be with you. Okay? That's the wonder of Christmas, my brothers and sisters. May you and I humble yourself and worship the King. Okay? Let's just bow.